Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. I am the host of the program, but more importantly, a father of five, broadcasting from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Today, for the first time, we have a live web audience, which is something we're going to add to the program here as we go along on this broadcast. Dave Buhner also in studio with me today, and we're going to address one of our questions that's come in via email to our radio program on this edition of Generations. It really surrounds the fact that we're just living in a time where 70% of young men are not grown up by 30 years of age, up from 30% in 1970. Folks, guys have checked out. That's right, they've checked out. It's the only group of people making less money than they did back in 1970, adjusted for inflation. They're making $30,000 a year. That's down from $35,000 a year in 1974. That's the 25 to 35 age group. And women are more engaged. There are far more women in college today than men, and therefore women are going to be running society, and women will be maintaining systems as the system breaks down. Society breaks down, folks. Men check out. And it's usually women who are hanging around to try to put things back together for a generation or two, trying to keep things together with duct tape, because women tend to be a little more conservative than men, in a sense that they want to conserve things, while men are just letting everything break down, which is what is going on right now. That's one of the reasons why we direct this radio program to men. We want guys to wake up and realize what's going on around them. Hey, you're losing the faith in this country, okay? Far less people call themselves Christians today than there were 20, 30 years ago. That means that our children and grandchildren will not be going to heaven because they have no faith. You got to believe in Christ if you're going to go to heaven. And if that's not a value that's being taught by dads to sons and daughters over the generations, folks, we're going to lose the faith. We're losing the family. 40% of kids born without fathers, up from 6% in 1960. We're losing freedoms big time. We've driven that point home, what, tens of thousands of times since we began broadcasting 6 years ago? Yeah, we're losing our freedoms. But see, guys are too busy playing video games, watching the sports games. They're checking out. They're not waking up to the hard, cold facts of reality, because they aren't connected with reality. And there are a lot of dads out there professing Christians who are neglecting their children's spiritual development. They're watching movies. They're playing golf. They're hanging out with their work buddies, their church buddies. But they're not really connecting with their children. Until somebody gets in the face and says, hey, wake up, Dad. Wake up, Dad. And they try to hold them accountable. And then they run back to the GameCube and just check out. Now, it is incredibly hard to raise a young man in this cultural milieu. Dave, I'm struggling with this. It's not like this is easy. Now, it's, I think, a lot harder to get a 35, 40, 45-year-old man to change. You know, talk to pastors out there. They're trying to raise up spiritual giants in these homes, where you've got a guy who has never been trained to be spiritually connected with his family. That's really, really, really hard to do. We've been on this radio program saying there's a 15-year-old daughter who's been dropped off by her dad at a homecoming dance in the most dangerous high school in the San Francisco area, and then she's ripped apart by a mob of perverts. And we say, hey, Dad. There's a lot of dads out there that are just disconnected. They don't understand that thinking, that you don't drop your daughter off at a homecoming dance at the most dangerous high school in San Francisco. You don't do that. You don't even send her to that school where they don't teach the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, the fear of God, where it's dangerous for those little girls to be walking around that campus. You don't do that, Dad. You're supposed to be protecting your little 15-year-old daughter spiritually and physically. And you bring that to a dad, and most dads just forget it, man. Who cares? Turn on the TV. They get more excited about the football game than they do about what's happening with their daughter on a Monday afternoon or a Monday evening. Dave, dads are just checking out. And if there's anything we have been trying to do on this show, it's been to address fathers and to wake them up. But they're just asleep. I don't think they see the magnitude of the problem before them. And, Dave, as you know, relationships are tough. involve a lot of emotions, a lot of time and energy. And if you're going to disciple that little boy, you got to know his heart. You got to get to know him, and you've got to repent of your own sins from time to time. And if these kids are turning 18, 20, 22 years of age and they're rebelling, and these fathers don't humble themselves and start repenting of their own rebellion against God and against his law, then of course his kids aren't going to repent of their sins. Dave, I think just spiritually, we've got a real deadness here. There's not a well-tuned spiritual nerve endings to what God's word is saying to them. They're not waking up to the reality of what they are doing, of what they are neglecting, of the sins they are committing by means of omission. They're not seeing what's going on around them. Their kids are listening to Katy Perry, and they don't care. Their kids are imitating their sins, and the fathers aren't repenting. And you start facing the fathers with their sins, and they don't want to hear it. They just don't want to hear it. Dave, I think we're on a slide to Gomorrah here, and a lot of dads don't understand that you've got to dig your fingernails into the cliff and start clawing your way up the hill, or otherwise you're going to contribute to the wholesale decline of society, and you are going to see your children and grandchildren continue to decline in terms of the integrity of the faith in the family in the next generation.
Kevin, I think we have an epidemic problem where fathers generally, just generally speaking, painting with a broad brush, do not love their children enough to care. If their daughter doesn't get pregnant out of wedlock, they think they've succeeded. The caring part, the part where they actually care whether or not their children go to heaven, is miserably a low proportion of people, of men who belong to churches. It's a miserably low number that actually care whether or not their children are going to heaven. I don't think they love their children, except that their children don't embarrass them, don't hurt them, and they're somewhat successful if they go get a nice job and don't get in too much trouble. You know, if your kid's not in prison, you're a good dad by today's standards.
Well, speaking of jobs here, Brad from online. By the way, we have an online listening audience right now, so they're listening live to what is going on in our studio out here in the eastern plains of Colorado. And Brad suggests that dads might be feeling beaten down in the corporate environment. By things like women taking away leadership positions and so forth, and then they bring that home with themselves. I think a lot of dads are really focused on other things. Their whole life at home is diluted because they're so consumed with the corporate system. And Dave, it's true the system affects the way that we interact at home. I mean, this is all interconnected. We can't separate these things. And I think a lot of dads do feel beaten down. A lot of times they got to work the 60, 70, 80 hour weeks because if they don't, they know they'll lose their job. You know, the other day I was talking to somebody about what modern man fears, because everybody fears something. I said, okay, what does the average guy fear? And both of us said the same thing at the same time. They fear losing their job. Probably the number one thing that the average guy out there fears, losing his job. And so if that corporate boss is holding something over him, he's going to feel like he's got to do whatever he can to satisfy the corporate boss. And that may even mean compromising the relationships in his own family.
Well, I think most men are taught not to have relationships because their dad didn't have relationships. They came out of the work world where relationships were simply, how can I exploit, in a nice way, somebody for profit? And that's what your business relationships amount to, because you really don't love your boss, and you really don't love your coworkers. Men are told from the time they enter college that they're potential monsters. There was one college university that printed a list of all the male students of the freshman class, and that list was entitled Potential Rapists. These are the girls, watch out. These are the potential rapists. It was all the males. The men go into a corporate environment, dog eat dog, right? Only the rules aren't the same for the men as they are for the women, as for the minorities, etc. Men end up getting trimmed slowly, slowly, slowly into this little box where their job is simply to be the ATM for the rest of their family and the rest of society. And I think Brad's right. Men do feel beaten down, but that's partly because nobody's given a vision for the kingdom of God.
That's right. Your priorities have to be right. And this is what happens. We wind up with the family getting derelevantized, relationships derelevantized, and we've got to get our priorities straight in our lives. And Dave, maybe that is pretty much the way that God's law needs to work in our lives. We need to submit ourselves, our time frames, our entire system of living to how God wants us to live. And He wants us to put relationships first. Well, in just a moment, we're going to talk to mothers, to wives, who happen to be living with these men who are sort of the couch potatoes. So how do you live with a couch potato? Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson. Folks, we are in the middle of the greatest recession since World War II. Unemployment continues to rise after 22 months of recession. Will the national bailouts and the massive redistribution of the wealth into irresponsible banks really help the situation? Will John Maynard Keynes' fractional reserve indebted system work out in the long run? I mean, he didn't think it was going to work in the long run. If you're a Christian father and mother, and you care about the future of your children and grandchildren, I'm telling you, it's time to work on Plan B. That's why we're doing a Family Economics Conference coming up here on March 5th and 6th, 2010. This will be a hands-on, practical conference bringing biblical perspectives to bear in every area of family economics. We're talking work. We're talking family entrepreneurism, debt-free living, contractual employment, inheritance, being a faithful employee, taking care of aging parents, living without Social Security, which, by the way, will happen, saving and investments, retirement, family charity, education, mentorship, taxation, health care decisions, seeking employment, raising dominion-minded daughters. We have found the best speakers in America who have studied and written on biblical family economics. It's time to work on Plan B, my friends. If you have a family and you are living in the American economy today, you need to check out this Family Economics Conference on March 5th and 6th, 2010. Check it out at kevinswanson.com. That's kevinswanson.com. Check it out now. And we're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. Dave Buhner also here. A couple of dads in studio. And Dave, you know, one of the goals of our program is to continually present vision such that fathers could see where we are and to understand the Word of God and how it applies to their current situation. And hopefully, I mean, we say this, but we hopefully want to wake some people up. And maybe that means illumination, regeneration, a concept of some of the challenges that we face spiritually in the world around us. And if fathers aren't attuned to that, they're not likely to be all that connected and spiritually nurturing in their families.
A lot of dads will only take care of problems as problems arise. And they're not on the lookout for problems till problems come. This is the nature of being a corporate man. You come home, you don't look for things to fix around the house. You let your wife generate the honey-do list. And so men oftentimes have their antennas very low looking for spiritual problems, and so low, in fact, they get uninvolved.
Yeah. Then you have moms who do connect. They go to church. And by the way, there's still a large percentage of women attending church in America. Men are dropping off big time. I think the ratio is somewhere around 61-70% women attending churches. And that compares to about 50 years ago where it was more like 50-50. So and the gap between men and women during the ages of 18 to 28 is even more significant. Some say the ratio of women to men is reaching as high as 7-1 when it comes to the younger men. Men are more and more disconnected from their families, but they're also more and more disconnected from the faith. They're not really connecting with the message of the Word of God, and they're not the spiritual leaders. The women turn out to be the spiritual leaders. This certainly applies to the homeschooling movement, too, because a lot of women wind up in church. They also wind up concerned about their own children's well-being, their family's well-being, and they freak out. They say, oh, we got to save the family. We got to protect these children. I don't want to send my little 15-year-old girl to the homecoming dance in San Francisco where she's going to get terribly messed up. Women are protective. They want to save their families. They're conservative. They want to hang on to some values, and so they wind up homeschooling their children. Meanwhile, the dads could care less. And this, unfortunately, is true with a lot of people. Women are connected. They care about the faith. They care about the family. I hear a lot of pro-family broadcasts, not so much like ours, but the wider audiences that listen to the pro-family broadcasts are typically women. And there's men out there, too, but it's 80-90% ratio of women listening to these broadcasts. Women are more engaged. They care about what's going on. And now they wind up with one of these men who are sort of disconnected, playing the GameCube. They haven't really grown up. They're 35 years of age, and they're not connected in any real important way. Maybe they're the breadwinner still, but they come home and flip on the television set, and they don't really want to engage with their family. They don't want to be the spiritual leaders. And so the women are saying, okay, so what now? And Dave, I think, first of all, I encourage women to continue to nurture and disciple their children, because that's important. That's what God wants them to do. God wants them to nurture their children, teach them God's word as they sit in their house, as they walk by the way, as they rise up, as they lie down. Of course, in our homeschooling conferences, our goal is to get as many fathers into those conferences as possible. Typically, we start with a 70-30 ratio, but as time progresses, we work more to 60-40 and hopefully to 55-45, trying to bring more fathers into these conferences, the goal being to get those fathers into a father discussion where we stand up, we say, hey, it's fathers bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is fathers teach your children God's word as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. That's God's plan for fathers. So our goal is to be able to speak to fathers, man to man, and direct them and give them a challenge. And more often than not, these guys do respond. But there are a lot of guys that don't make it to these conferences. They don't go to church. They're not nurtured by elders. And so here they are in a marriage, and that wife is frustrated. And Dave, I get these reports almost every day through email or through personal contact with these families. And what does a woman do? What does she do? Now, 1 Peter 3 and verse 1 pretty much nails it. I mean, when it comes to the Word of God, the Bible knows how to speak to every single issue in life, including women who have disconnected dads as husbands. And here's what Peter says, 1 Peter 3 and verse 1. Likewise, hey, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the Word. All right, that's any husband. If you happen to have a husband who doesn't obey the word, he doesn't take the word seriously, he doesn't really care about the spiritual well-being of his kids, if there's any husband out there that doesn't obey the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. Well, there it is, Dave. It doesn't say nag your husband into obedience. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, you know, whine and plead and beg and beg and beg and nag your husband into doing what he's supposed to do. It doesn't say that. It says he will be won by your silence. He'll be won by the conversation of the wife. That is the lifestyle of the wife while they behold your modest conversation coupled with fear. Well, there it is, Dave. That's the vision for women. That they'll win their husbands, but they'll win them not by this domineering approach. Somehow, I'm going to change my husband. I'm going to be a Holy Spirit of my husband. I'm going to change that guy. And David, you know, as you know, it never works. It never works. And you get a combination of disconnected dad and a real domineering, loud, bossy homeschool mom underneath that denim dress. She's got the pants in that home. You've got divorce on your hands. And how many times have we seen that happen, Dave?
Well, and that's just it, Kevin. The standards, the vision for women equally is as blinded as it is for the men. Women, now think about this. Women, when they're single, if they can find a man who has a job, you know, that's a pretty good start. He's not going to divorce her in the first 10 years. He'll even go to church with her occasionally. He'll have children, even if he's not real involved with them. He'll certainly work to make sure his daughter doesn't get pregnant and his son doesn't end up in jail. He's considered a great catch. He's a great catch. I've got the man for me. Now, a woman's vision equally needs to be enlightened by the Word of God here. What does God want? If she becomes the spiritual leader and usurps her husband's role in the household, he will never step up, and he will resent her for it. If she really wants to have a husband who is the spiritual leader, she might start by, oh, stop complaining about his spiritual leadership. She could try and bring him with her to church as often as she can, asking in a winsome way. Invite the elders over for a meal so that the elders and her husband get to know each other, and he becomes accountable to men in God's created order.
Yeah, it's sort of a catch-22 here, Dave. When you've got a wife that is commanding her husband to be the leader in the home, you know, who's the leader here? Turns out the wife is still the leader. So, and that's a point that Corey made online. By the way, folks, we have an online listening audience right now. And if you want to email us at host@kevinswanson.com, I can tell you how you also can be part of our listening audience on a regular basis on this radio program. But, Dave, again, the issue is the wife has got to fulfill the requirements that God has for her in His Word. And when you've got a society that's got all that upside down, you've got husbands and young men prepared to be the slug, to be the disconnected dad, to be the corporate automaton. You've got that system working, and then you've got the wife trained to be the domineering, pants-wearing, bossy, naggy woman in the home where she's manipulating her husband emotionally all the time. You know, that's just a recipe for dysfunctionality, and that's why we have such a high incidence of divorce out there. They need to be part of a good church. And this may be the fundamental problem with a lot of families out there. When you're not part of a church where you have men elders who are holding the men accountable for family worship and discipling their children in those homes, when you're not part of a good church that where there's iron on iron between the men, and you have elders, other men that can exhort the men, you're going to be probably in a more dysfunctional situation. Moreover, if you're in a decent church, hopefully you've got elders that are looking out for that guy who's getting more and more disconnected. His relationship with his wife is starting to suffer, and they can just sort of pick that up. They've got their antennas tuned to know when there are needs in those families, and they are willing to get involved and engaged, and they wade in on those families' issues, and they invite the family over for dinner and have a little chat and talk to the husband and hopefully get a chance to exhort the husband and challenge him in some areas. And if he responds right, if his heart is humble before God and he's willing to repent a little bit there, great things, tremendous things can happen in that family. So I think it's a combination of the woman with her chaste, with her modest, quiet obedience. She can win her husband, but you also need, I think, the preaching of the Word of God and the exhortation of the Word of God in that man's life.
And, you know, I think women can do much to encourage their husbands to this end without being naggy, without usurping them. One of the things they can do is say, good doggy, good doggy, good doggy, every time he takes some spiritual leadership. In other words, love him. Lavish love upon him. You know, that's the time to grab his arm and put your head on his shoulder and say, I really love the way you take spiritual headship in this house. You give the right kind of feedback from a wife to a husband, he's going to engage in that behavior more. Not to manipulate him, but make sure it's from the heart, and he will engage in that business. Because most men spend a great deal of energy trying to please their wives.
All right, we just have a minute left, but before we get out of here, folks, we've got a question from the studio audience. George is online right now. George, you have a question or comment to make on this morning's broadcast.
Yeah, gentlemen, thanks. It's great to hear you guys. What kind of concrete things should we be trying to do? I was thinking maybe I should take my family to the football games or baseball games or something like that. What kind of things do we recommend? I don't know if I want to change churches right now.
Well, you know, the first thing to do, concrete-wise, for any dad who wants to connect with his family, as far as I'm concerned, is to grab the Word of God, the Bible, and crack that Bible and spend some time in the Word of God. I mean, guys ask me that all the time, Dave. You know, what do you do? You know, I haven't been doing anything, man. I've been on the Lazy Boy recliner. I've been yelling beer me and you know, watching Monday Night Football, and my kids, you know, come around, watch Monday Night Football for a few minutes, and that's about the only contact I get with them. What is the most important thing that I can do? And again, I've got to say, the most important thing you do is to do what God tells you to do in Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Bring your children up in the nurture of the Lord. Or Deuteronomy 6, 7. Teach your children my word as you sit in the house. That's what you do. And it's not high tech. All right? You got to be able to read first. Okay, so if there's any guy who can't read, we got to work with that. But if he can read, then get the Word of God. I suggest the book of Proverbs, grab the Gospels, maybe work through the book of Matthew first. But grab some verses, read them out loud. And then teach your children a little bit about what God is saying there. Try to understand it yourself. And when you note that the Bible is talking about something that your household's just a little weak on, let's say you come upon Philippians chapter 4. God says to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. Just look up and say, you know what? The Bible says don't be anxious. Don't be worried. I think we've been kind of worried as a family that Dad's going to lose his job. I've been afraid that we could lose our job here and lose the income for the family. There's been some fear going in my heart. I think that's spread around the family a little bit here. And you turn to your family and say, guys, we got to repent of that. I mean, the Word of God says, don't be anxious, but pray. Let's get down on our knees right now. Let's pray to God that He would provide our needs and that we would no longer be anxious and worried about the future. Okay, what would that take, Dave? 2 minutes there? That's 2 minutes. Okay, 2 minutes. If a guy out there can do that for 2 minutes, man, he is on the way to what God wants him to do. Okay, folks. Well, I hope we haven't made this program too technical for you. Personally, we believe that the Word of God, the Bible, is the way in which we not only run our lives, but it's also the book that we work with as we teach our children and raise our children in the nurture of the Lord. And folks, you can also grab a copy of our new family Bible study guide. It's a book of Genesis, and well, I would encourage you to grab a copy of that if you're just getting into this idea called family discipleship or family worship. You can grab a copy of that book, the family Bible study guide, the book of Genesis, at our website, kevinswanson.com, where you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, right there at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.